Just Energy Radio with Dr. Rita Louise. What am I made of? Why do I get sick? How can I live a more balanced and whole life? These are just a few of the questions that will be explored tonight by your host, naturopath, medical intuitive, and clairvoyant Dr. Rita Louise. Call in and talk to Dr. Rita and her thought-provoking guests. Get the help you need to move beyond any obstacle or challenges affecting your life right from the source. And now back to Just Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Rita Louise.
Hello and welcome back to Just Energy Radio. I'm Dr. Rita Louise, and thank you all for staying tuned to the second hour of the show, or if you're just tuning in, welcome to the show. In this hour, we're going to be continuing with our 2012 extravaganza, where we'll be talking to John Major Jenkins about his new book. Well, I don't know if it's a new book. I don't think it's a new book, but interesting book, Galactic Alignment, and we're going to be talking about 2012 according to the Mayan, Egyptian, and Vedic traditions. I don't know if people saw the 2012 show that was on TV a few months ago, anyway, I was trying to think of a name, but I can't think of it, and I'm sure it will come to me in the middle of the night tonight. Anyway, but they were talking about 2012, and of course it got very apocalyptic, which I thought was even more interesting because none of the people that really contributed to the show were particularly apocalyptic people, but that's okay. And what I was finding really funny was that they kept talking about the 2012, you know, the Mayan calendar, and then they kept saying, you know, in Egypt they had this tradition, and in India they had this tradition, and there was this part of me that was waiting for them to say, well, this was what the tradition was, or this is what they found, or anything about why they would bring these other cultures into the whole topic of 2012, because really you only hear it regarding the Mayans, and actually I've heard talk about in the Vedic tradition where they talk about the yugas and how the yugas correlate sort of to the grand calendar of the Mayan. But I thought it would be good to hear, you know, because if it's on TV, then it's got to be true, of course. But then they kept talking about the Egyptians, and with the Egyptians, you never heard anything. They just said, well, you know, and the Egyptians, they had it too, but they never actually said what the tradition was or how it correlated or anything. And personally, I felt a little bit ripped off. You know, there were some interesting parts, but being kind of a science head myself, and if you've listened to the show, we like meat, and that show didn't have meat. And so I'm hoping that tonight we're going to have me, but we're waiting for the guests to get here. So I'm just visiting with you. And actually, if there's anyone out there that would like to call in and make a commentary or ask a question, we would love your call at this point in time. Because in this hour, we're talking to John Major Jenkins about his book, Galactic Alignment, The Transformation of Consciousness According to Mayan, Egyptian, and Vedic Traditions. And I'm not really going to let him off the hook. I'm going to...
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello, hold on.
Hello?
Hello? Hold on one second.
Yeah.
We are trying to have a conference call hookup here. Our phones went out at the studio. And,
oh, boy.
And what we're doing here is we are doing a kind of an end around here, trying to hook up Dr. Rita Louise in one of the many kind of ways we can do this. Let's see if this will work out here.
Okay. All righty.
And so this is the fun part about doing live live shows here. We're trying to I tell you, while I'm working on this, perhaps you could just start out talking about the subject matters, 2012 you guys were going to talk about, and I'll bring her in to the conversation.
Oh, okay.
All right.
You want me to just start talking? Or?
Yeah, that'll be best for the people who are listening, so they can while I work on this in the background.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Well, I've been involved in researching the origins of this 2012 date, the long count calendar, for some 25 years. And I've been inspired by my travels living and working among the Maya in the highlands there in Guatemala, and some of the enigmatic questions about the ancient traditions always were interesting to me, and of course the 2012 date is one of those enigmas. But if you look into the material, if you study the Maya creation mythology and the various traditions that are connected with the long count calendar, and especially if you look at the early Maya site called Izapa that was involved in the formulation of this calendar, then you can really say some very clear things about what this tradition was about. Now, on a level of nuts and bolts reconstruction of what they were doing.
Hold on one second. Let me try to push this in, and you guys should be on here. Let me see if I can get this going here.
I'm here.
There we go.
So am I live?
Yes. And John, are you there?
Yeah, okay, I'm here. Do you hear me?
Hi, John.
There we go. Guys,
hello.
Go ahead.
Well, welcome
here
to
we
Just
are.
Energy Radio. I'm Dr. Rita. Thank you for joining us.
Well, hi. I'm glad to be here.
Well, you know, I've just been, like, going on and on and on and on, and then I got disconnected, and I'm like, okay. It's like, oh, well, John's talking. It's like, okay. Well, I'm sure he'll find something interesting to talk about. It has been a very interesting technological evening tonight, something that the Maya and the Hindu and the Egyptians, I'm sure, did not have to deal with.
That's probably true, yes.
So, I feel like I'm like halfway into the conversation because I've just been, like I said, going on and on and on. There, we've had shows about 2012 before where we've talked about the Mayan calendar, and actually I just had Barbara Hanclow on in the last hour, but we were talking more about her book, Catastrophobia, as opposed to the Mayan calendar and stuff like that. And I think a lot of people that listen to this type of programming have heard a bunch of information. I'll say information about the Mayan calendar part. What I would like to focus on tonight, if we can, which I think you're going to be a great person to talk about this stuff, I've been very excited about having you on, I have to tell you, is everybody else. One of the things I was talking about while waiting for you to come on was they did that documentary a few months ago with Greg Brandon. That's the name, Greg Brandon. And they just kept talking about, oh, well, these people have a theory, you know, had, you know, Mayans, you know, related stuff, and these people had an end of the world prophecy, but they never talked about what their belief was or where it came from. And so I was just so excited to get your book because you talk about all of these other cultures that actually kind of correlate the same data in different ways. And so that's kind of what I was hoping to talk about.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, we can talk about that. And I also was interviewed on that documentary program, and I did give them all the pertinent information about the what the Maya, how the Maya think about 2012. It's very straightforward and clear. Basically, 2012 is the end of a great cycle, and the Maya of the past and the Maya of today, in fact, think of cycle endings as times of transformation and renewal. It's very simple. In a cyclic time philosophy, the cycle ending is always about transformation and renewal. And the reason why I was, my material that I gave them over, I think it was probably a 3 or 4 hour interview that I did with them, and I did appear in the documentary, but they only used a couple of little clips from that, and nothing that was representative of the way that I clearly express what the Maya tradition is about. And the reason why that is because the mainstream media and many exploitative writers are emphasizing this idea of doomsday. And that is a big problem, but it's not that surprising because it's very revealing, as a matter of fact, in terms of our own civilization's inability to understand ancient traditions. And it reveals how our own linear Judeo-Christian tradition projects fear and doomsday into something like 2012, which is really about awakening and transformation and renewal. So it's not a meaningless thing that the media and exploitative writers have their way with this topic. It's actually very revealing. So
and
all
I found that really fascinating,
yeah.
And let me just interject, I found it really fascinating based on the people that they interviewed on the show, because there were a lot of names that I recognized and was familiar with their work. I mean, at that point in time, I wasn't familiar with your work, I will admit that, but having it become this apocalyptic outcome was not where a lot of the people go. You know, it's not part of their belief set, and so I thought it was interesting how it could be converted into, and the world is going to blow up in the end.
Well, that's an interesting point, Rita Louise, because I think you're right. The people that I talk to don't really think that it's about doomsday, so why does the media have to ram this down our throats? It's almost like the media is trying to reinforce a fear-based sort of dismissive attitude towards this, probably because 2012 has the promise of really awakening people, because it really is about transformation and renewal. And the powers that be that are ruled by greed and self-interest, basically the archetype of self-serving egoism, the powers that be do not want that to happen. They want people to remain unconscious and limited so that they can be robots for the system.
Well, and I think there's a belief that fear sells more copies. You know, you
I've been around with that one many times.
I mean, you listen to a lot of shows, even on the radio and or on TV, you know, like talk shows, and it's all about gloom and doom. I mean, no offense to George Norrie, but I've gone and looked at some of the shows that they've done, and a lot of them are scary to me. It's like, well, where's the light in any of this?
I think it's really insulting to the intelligence of the average American, really, the average person who's listening to these programs, to think that they can just keep using that same marketing advertisement slogan, fear, as if people will never get tired of it. You know, even the marketing advertisement executives don't believe in that principle. I mean, Mr. Whipple doesn't sell toilet paper anymore because they know that people get savvy to the use of the same symbol, you know, the same thing. But, you know, it's really a sad situation that's very revealing of the idiocy of the modern world. And, you know, I just hope that we can get beyond it so we can really talk about what this beautiful, incredible, profound, insightful tradition is really about with 2012.
So, and as I was saying in my little monologue, on that show, they talked about, I mean, especially the Egyptians, they kept saying, well, and the Egyptians have these beliefs about what's going to happen in 2012 too, or something to that effect. And I had never heard anything about it. I mean, the Vedic traditions, I've heard about the yugas and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, tell us, what is it about? Just because I like to see, well, these people here and these people here and these people here and these people here all kind of are saying the same thing, even though the terminology might be different. But, of course, they didn't say what they believed or what they thought or anything, so... So what did the Egyptians think? You know, how do they tie into this whole cosmology that makes them be even remotely parallel to the Maya, other than the pyramid?
Is that it? Well, that's a good question, and the key to understanding that, it's really twofold, but in my work, in my Galactic Alignment book, you know, the key to understanding why the Maya chose December 21st of 2012 has to do with this rare astronomical alignment. We're lining up through the December solstice position of the sun with the Milky Way and that part of the Milky Way that contains the center, the galactic center. So galactic alignment, solstice galaxy alignment. You know, this alignment is happening in our era, in the years around 2012. So we're in a zone, we're in a period of time of rare astronomical alignment. Now, what does it mean? Well, you know, my pursuit of this in looking at other cultures, because it seemed to me that the Maya discovered this some 2,200 years ago. They didn't have telescopes. They were naked-eye astronomers, and they discovered this slow shifting of the skies called precession, and it seemed to me that this would have been within the capability of other ancient cultures as well. So I looked at Egypt, I looked at Vedic India, I looked at other traditions like Mithraism, the Mithraic Mysteries, which was the state religion of Rome for some 400 years, which seemed to have an astrological doctrine of the precession of the equinoxes at its core. And I did find evidence that they were indeed aware of precession, and there was evidence for an awareness of these types of alignments to the galaxy. And so it seemed like there was a hidden underground stream, you know, that was coming through from the very ancient cultures in which they were tuned into this idea. And it's by way of that key that we can suspect that some of these ancient traditions were aware of what we are looking at and experiencing today as the galactic alignment, which is very, very clear in the Maya material, which was the subject of my earlier book, Maya Cosmogenesis 2012. And so just on the grounds of, you know, what the ancient sky watchers of many different cultures were looking at, we can see that it was all within their capability. And they all seemed to tie it to spiritual beliefs about transformation of the world, world ages, periods of time that humanity passes through, and how at the end of one of these world ages, when this kind of alignment happens in the sky, they believed that the world would go through a transformation. Now, whether or not you can prove that there is some effect that happens with this kind of alignment, you know, that's a subject, it's a question for modern scientists to look at. Many of them sort of glance at this material, don't understand it, and with the kind of pompous, omniscient attitude that scientists often have, they'll simply dismiss it and say, no, it cannot be true, as if they've really looked at it carefully. But I think the point is that there was a profound galactic cosmology, precession based, that the Maya had, and that's what we can say, that's what my reconstruction work is about, and it's that's preceded, you know, by way of, you know, good academic research and documentation and so on. It doesn't make me popular among the Maya scholars because I got there first, and they're not really happy about giving credit to somebody that's outside of the university system. And I also try to give voice to the spiritual teachings that are also part of the tradition, which are not merely the quaint beliefs of a forgotten people, you know, but they're really perennial wisdom teachings about cycle endings, which have to do with transformation and renewal and how the spiritual consciousness can awaken. So it's really, you know, an interesting thing to look into if we can get past all the hype, you know, that the media throws at it, and it's really a fascinating thing to explore.
You mean you're not going to stock your house up with, like, canned beans and sure and water and candles for, you know,
no.
December 20th coming up? I have a question.
Nope.
Barbara was just on, Barbara Hanclow, and she was talking about Cattleman's work and where he puts the end date, we'll say the end date, in 2011 as opposed to 2012. Why is there some controversy as to when the cycle ends, and are we really talking about where the Mayan calendar ends versus when the galactic alignment happens, or is there question about when the galactic alignment happens?
Well, Kalman's work is basically an assertion of his own sort of interpretation, and he's got a very idiosyncratic model that he's put on the table. And unfortunately, for some reason, he has chosen to reject the traditional authentic and proven end date. I mean, this is the correlation question. When does the 13 Bakhtun cycle end? And it has to do with the correlation of the Maya calendar with our own. It's a question that Maya scholars have been looking at for over 100 years. And it's basically settled. Kalman hasn't really looked into the evidence for that very carefully. And another thing, too, is that, you know, he's operating from the premise that there's a wave of energy that must be identified. And I just don't see any value or validity to this concept, because it sort of implies that we are just unconscious automatons that are following the energies, and on a specific day, according to the architecture of time, we are fated to wake up, or something's going to happen. So you see this in the language that Kalanen and other writers use, which is very definite language, like this will happen, and this will happen on that date, and according to my system, when the fifth day of the underworld comes around, this will happen. I call them predictators. They predict, but they're dictators. They believe that you can actually, you know, state with certainty something that happens in the future. It's absurd. It denies human beings of free will. So there's
but it works really good to program people, though.
Well, sure, and, you know, another thing, too, is there's a tendency with modern writers to create their own systems. So you have the Kalanen system, you have the Arguelles system, you have the Clow system, you have the, you know, there's a tendency to sort of trademark one's own sort of system so you can, you know, use that. I find that, you know, it's inventive and creative and all that, but I find it problematic because it actually distracts us from connecting deeply and more deeply as our spiritual path unfolds with the authentic Maya material that is an expression of very profound, universal, perennial wisdom.
So do you think on the planet we're in a period of acceleration, though?
I don't know. I think that my sort of take on that is that, you know, I thought about that a lot, and I sometimes think that time has been speeding up since the early 90s when Starbucks opened up. But on another level, I think that, you know, the experience of time is subjective, Rita. You ever notice that? Like, sometimes it seems like time is going so fast, and then other times, especially when consciousness dilates, like when you're in love, it opens up, it slows down. You approach eternity. Eternity is not a long period of time. Eternity is the cessation of time. It's the now, you know, the deeply felt experience of the now. So, and also another thing, too, is that elderly people, we've heard this, you know, Grandma says, oh, Christmas is here again. It seems like it was here just yesterday. That's because the consciousness, the neural processing is sort of closing down. You know, the consciousness is not processing the information as quickly. Or perhaps I should say that it's ultimately subjective. And so we, you know, modern humanity is experiencing time as moving very fast because our consciousness has been shut down. It's been limited. It's been limited by the dictates of our own egocentric culture, which reinforces self-interest and atomizing of consciousness. We're supposed to be just unconscious robots in the system. So if we open up our consciousness, then time slows down.
Well, there is some music, which means we need to take a quick break. I'm Dr. Rita Louise. We're talking to John Major Jenkins about his book, Galactic Alignment, and we'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Just Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Rita Louise, will return right after these messages.
Go deep inside yourself and venture into the realm of the unconscious mind with my Meditating on the Kabbalah guided imagery audio CDs. Discover who you are and what you want in life. Meditating on the Kabbalah can help you to open, clear, and revitalize the energetic pathways of your subtle being. They will support you in your spiritual quest by helping you to access the profound insights and inner guidance you need as you work in alignment with your highest good. Let them help you to release negative thoughts and emotions and clear away any limitations that may be keeping you from experiencing your full potential. Walk down the path to health, healing, understanding, and enlightenment with Meditating on the Kabbalah. Order your copy today at www.soulhealer.com. That's right, that's www.soulhealer.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rita Louise, the host of Just Energy Radio. There's no greater blessing in the world than your good health. Science is now showing that simply eating a high-quality diet doesn't provide us with all the nutrition we need. Doctors recommend we supplement our diets with products derived from whole food concentrates. And one of the most complete and nutritious whole foods found on the earth are little microscopic plants called marine phytoplankton, which can be found in a product called Frequency. I've been taking Frequency every day for about 6 months now, and I feel more energized and full of life. If you're ready to make a difference in your health, I encourage you to try Frequency and see what it can do for you. To learn more about Frequency and other amazing whole food natural products direct from Mother Nature, please visit productsforthesoul.com.
Just Energy Radio wants to help you grow your business. Just Energy Radio has a growing global audience which can provide you with an unequaled opportunity to educate thousands of people about the products and services you have to offer. Through our targeted market, your ad is more likely to connect with like-minded individuals who will respond to your message. In addition, our archiving feature will allow your ad to be heard over and over again. Join the internet marketing revolution and take advantage of our low introductory prices. Visit JustEnergyRadio.com for more information.
Start the year off right by visiting livinggrocery.com. Experience the miracle of real nutrition as it helps you to lose weight and improve your overall health. Don't mess with pills or capsules. We provide the highest quality all-natural organic foods that come ready to eat. And best of all, it's delivered straight to your door. Visit livinggrocery.com now and experience your own amazing transformation.
Hi, I'm James Othayanchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio. Listen to Dr. Rita's Soul Healer Moment live each third Sunday night of the month on Feet to the Fire. www.feettofire.com for more information.
And now back to Just Energy Radio with Dr. Rita Louise.
Hello and welcome back to Just Energy Radio. I'm Dr. Rita Louise and we're talking to John Major Jenkins from Alignment2012.com. Not HandCloud2012.com, but Alignment2012.com. So before the break, we were talking about the galactic alignment. And I've heard information about the processions and find it very interesting how cultures would use the... And I'm going to say the primary sign, I don't even know how to express that, in the sky, the primary constellation, and then things would form around it. So as an example, I believe that the Sphinx was actually a lion and that it was created during the age of Leo. And then they went into, during the age of Taurus, there was the bull worshiping, and then now we're in the age of Pisces, and we have the whole Christian religion, which is based on the fish. And I find that just a very interesting correlation to the sky. But what impact and what's so big about the galactic alignment? I mean, okay, it happens once every 26,000 years, and kind of like Halley's Comet, I can understand why scientists would maybe be interested in watching it and tracking it. But why would a people like the Maya or the Egyptians or you know, the Vedic people care? It's once every 26,000 years.
Well, yeah, that's a great question. For the Maya, the key feature that was of interest to them with the alignment scenario wasn't a constellation. It was a feature that lies along the Milky Way called the Dark Rift. It's a rift caused by interstellar dust clouds, and you can see it. If you go camping and look up at the Milky Way, you can see this sort of dark ridge running along the Milky Way. And it's in that region of the Milky Way where that is called the nuclear bulge, which is, in other words, that's the center of our Milky Way. Our Milky Way is saucer-shaped. And even with the naked eye alone, you can notice that this part of the Milky Way is wider and there's more bright stars in there. So the Maya thought of this as the womb of the Great Mother, and the dark rift feature would be the birth canal. And then the alignment is basically when the position of the December solstice sun shifts through the sky with precession, and it comes into alignment with this dark rift feature in the years around 2012. Not specifically on December 21st of 2012. It's not just a one-day, one-year thing. It's a process-oriented thing. And, of course, but in their calendar, they had to pick a day to end their cycle, so that gives us December 21st of 2012, and is also the cause of some great confusion because people don't understand how the tradition works. But the point is that the sun was mythologized as a solar male deity. So you have father-son joining with the birth canal of the Great Mother in the Great Womb in the sky, the Milky Way. So it's a very, you know, compelling and profound sort of scenario that the Maya, the ancient Maya, mythologized as the union of cosmic father solar forces with cosmic mother galactic forces. And because of that, they thought that it justified a time in which a great cycle would be coming to a close, and thus a time of great transformation and renewal for humanity and for the world. So it became the focus point for their entire cosmology and calendar system and religion. And we see a lot of evidence for this in the glyphs that are used in the classic period with the dark rift and so on, as well as at the early site of Azapa. So now, as to the question as to whether this has any, quote, real meaning, you know, in other words, if scientists can demonstrate that the galactic alignment actually does trigger change on Earth, well, I don't know. Maybe scientists should look at it instead of just thumbing their nose at it and judging it before they've even examined it. I mean, half of the astronomers and scientists I've talked to don't even understand what the galactic alignment is. But I think the real point is that if we understand this alignment as the Maya did, as a time of great transformation and renewal, that's how the Maya thought of cycle endings, is this idea perhaps maybe a good idea for culture today? Do you think that this idea as an overarching theme of our times might be a good thing, whether or not we can demonstrate scientifically that the alignment has empirical effects on Earth? I think so. I think the idea of transformation and renewal is something that all conscious people should be working towards in their own spiritual lives, as well as in their political activism and the practical things they do with their lives.
But if you look at, I mean, okay, modern science kind of looks at astrology and goes, yeah, right. But if you look at it from an astrological point of view, and I'm not an astrologer, but if the sun can influence us in a certain way and the moon can influence us, or at least be a reflection of what's going on the planet, then I would think that having us come into an alignment like that would have to have some kind of impact, or at least represent and reflect something that's going on this planet.
Well, sure, yeah. As above, so below. Just by way of common sense, we are related to everything that goes on around us. And so just by common sense, you would think that there's some kind of a connection. And it's not just some silly astrological superstition. But the point is that it doesn't even matter if you can argue that or prove that there's some kind of effect. The point is that did the Maya have this cosmology in place? Yes. What does that tell us about them? They were 20 times more sophisticated than modern people have been willing to grant them. I mean, look at the movies that come out on the Maya. They're basically ooga booga primitive savages slicing out hearts, right? Well, that's incredibly prejudiced, and it's also incredibly inaccurate. And then, on the other hand, this idea of transformation and renewal, is that an idea that maybe we should, our culture, our civilization should open up to and embrace? Yeah, probably. What's the alternative? Doomsday. Some kind of fear-based projection of the worst-case scenario. Well, that's incredibly infantile. Although, it's true that an infantile attitude towards life is pretty much what we have going on in the world today.
But I don't see how people can sit there and say that those people were primitive when you look at their buildings and, the construction of the buildings in the first place, but then the astrological significance of the buildings. I mean, they go around and they say that about all of these cultures, except today we still don't understand how they know so much. We just figured out about the galactic alignment within the last 100 years, and apparently they knew about it long before we did. So where did they learn it? And how can we say they're primitive when they could do stuff and they understood stuff and knew about stuff long before we ever came to those conclusions?
Well, Rita, that's a good point, and I think what you've identified is the real problem is that our own civilization has not known about the galactic alignment for 100 years. It has not been a concept that has been known or talked about. It is sort of like it's a very, very profound idea. It may indeed be the linchpin of great cycles and how, they relate to change here on the planet. I don't know. We should look into it. Scientists should look into it. I think scientists are embarrassed that they haven't noticed this and that they have to get the information from a culture that they've traditionally considered to be incredibly unsophisticated and primitive.
One of the things that makes me laugh is how quantum physics is starting to validate the whole concept of subtle energy and how we can send and receive energy and just that whole idea that has been part of spiritual literature for thousands of years. And now they're just saying, well, I guess there could be something to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we got to bring people together to talk about this, and that's what we're doing with our conference in Fort Collins. And, I've been a part of many conferences, and a lot of times they are simply preying on this fear-based doomsday thing or other ideas that don't have anything to do with Maya teachings. And so what we've tried to do with our 2012 Now conference in Fort Collins is to bring together people that can actually speak to these valid Maya ideas, community building, partnership society, the idea of transformation and renewal and rebirthing, and so we're really trying to shift the situation here with this 2012 discussion, and do it the justice that it deserves.
I think that there are a lot of it's kind of a two-edged sword, and what just kind of came through my mind, and I'm just going to share it because it's just a very interesting concept. Could it be, and now this is coming from a totally conspiracy theory point of view, you hype people up enough that this is what's going to happen, and when it became 2000, that whole thing about everything's going to, all the computers are going to die and, you're not going to have any bank money left because the computers are going to lose all the records and blah, 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 blah. And nothing happened. And it takes people's confidence in what science and society is saying is this is what's going to happen and makes them go, oh, yeah, right. So it makes you wonder if they're just playing this up just to make us question and go, oh, well, you know, these people have been saying this stuff for a long time, and maybe it's really just not even true, so why should we listen to them anymore?
Well, to say that 2012 is connected to apocalypse or Y2K is like saying that President Obama is a Muslim and a terrorist. It's a tactic. It's a tactic to keep people stupid and to keep people unconscious. And I wouldn't say it's necessarily a conscious conspiracy, but it's simply the resistance of an ego-dominated culture to opening up to a larger context which embraces the whole picture, the big picture. And unfortunately, embracing the big picture and raising the consciousness is exactly what our culture needs. However, we have the forces of limitation that are impinging on this situation, trying to keep people stuck. So, I like to say that 2012, as an expression of a cyclic time philosophy, is about transformation and renewal. That is just a clear statement of the tradition. When you get media and books that are called Apocalypse 2012 or other such nonsense, they're actually putting apocalypse together with 2012. 2012 doesn't have anything to do with apocalypse. The Maya did not have that concept. It's like showing the Hindu god Shiva holding a Bible. It's a monstrous non sequitur, and it would insult the intelligence of anybody who's looked even a little bit into the tradition.
That's a good point. I had this whole list of questions, and we're going to go to a commercial here real quick. Well, you were okay. Talking about the conference in
Fort Collins.
Yeah, it's like I'm going Colorado, but my brain wanted to say something else. So when is that happening, and what's that about?
Well, it's happening May 29th and 30th in Fort Collins, Colorado, which is an hour north of Denver. People can find out more information at unveiling2012.com or just go to my website, alignment2012.com, and you'll find the information there. We've got speakers, Stan Groff, who's a rebirthing researcher, a pioneer, and Sabone Fusome, who will talk about community and do a ritual for us, and William Henry and Rick Tarnas, amazing thinker, myself, Christine Page, and William Henry. So we've got a really great lineup. It's going to be 2 days, and it's going to be a very unique and different kind of 2012 conference. More of a gathering.
And there's not any asteroids or ex-planets or pole shifts going to happen during the conference or anything, right?
No, we've had enough of that from, the exploiters in the marketplace. People can go elsewhere if that's what they want.
I mean, I'm just glad to hear you say the information the way you are, because there are so many people that are putting out the speculation that may or may not be true. Anyway, we need to take a quick break. I'm Dr. Rita Louise. We're talking to John Major Jenkins about his book, Galactic Alignment, www.alignment2012.com, and we'll be back after these words from our sponsor.
Just Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Rita Louise, will return right after these messages.
It's Dr. Rita Louise. Don't forget to sign up for our free online newsletter at justenergyradio.com. It'll keep you informed of who's coming on the show each week. And don't forget, explore your possibilities every Friday night. Don't miss a single episode of Just Energy Radio. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Are you feeling stuck and unsure which way to turn on your path? Do you lack focus and direction in life? Do you feel something is missing? So what do you want? A better job? Your dream home? More money? Your ideal mate? Dakara has practical tools to assist you. Schedule a session today to get clear about what you truly desire to deliberately create the life you want. For more information, visit ManifestingConsultant.com or call toll-free 1-800-813-3877.
Are you sensitive to energy? Want to explore the world beyond the five senses? Looking for a new career as an alternative healthcare practitioner? Then the Institute of Applied Energetics, Medical Intuition, and Energy Medicine Training Programs may be right for you. Our comprehensive curriculum provides students with a deep understanding of how to detect, evaluate, and transform the subtle body, as well as techniques for correcting energetic imbalances that may underscore a person's ability to experience radiant health. So if you are sensitive to energy, contact the Institute of Applied Energetics right away. Be a catalyst for changing the way healthcare is done around the world. Visit www.appliedenergeticsinstitute.com and start your new career today.
Finally, there's a healing and ascension tool that delivers real results faster than you ever dreamed possible. Guaranteed. Feel your body release those lingering physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual blockages. Sense a profound awakening to your next level of intuition and oneness with your higher self. Discover Archangel Metatron's Healing and Ascension CDs at AtlantisHealthCenters.com. Visit AtlantisHealthCenters.com today.
Move past the crossroads in your life and discover alternative solutions to your deepest concerns at SoulHealer.com. So whether it's a physical problem, an emotional issue, a question about work, or troubles in your relationships, naturopath and medical intuitive Dr. Rita Louise can help you. Bring peace, harmony, and health back into your life. Schedule a session today. Visit SoulHealer.com right away and live the life you've been dreaming of.
Now back to Just Energy Radio with Dr. Rita Louise.
Hello and welcome back to Just Energy Radio. I'm Dr. Rita Louise and we're talking to John Major Jenkins about his book, Galactic Alignment. His website is www.alignment2012.com. So, John, I have kind of a personal question that came to me while I was reading through your book.
Okay.
When dating civilizations, it said that civilization started about 4,000 BC, give or take 500 years either way. How did the Aboriginal cultures or even Native American cultures fit into this whole scheme? What is it that identifies a people as being civilized or as a civilization? Because if the Aborigine ended up in Australia 50,000 years ago, weren't they people? I mean, they couldn't have been Neanderthal people or anything.
Yeah, I was using the terminology of traditional historical, anthropology, which is basically prejudice towards a definition of civilization, which it defines. Civilization is currently defined as is identified as emerging, you know, some 4,500 years ago or so. But what I also point out in the book elsewhere, and what I truly believe, is that we have a very inverted idea as to what is civilized. We tend to think that evidence for the manipulation of technology and tools is something that indicates the emergence of, quote, primitive people into a more civilized attitude. And I like your example of the Australian Aborigines. I believe that the Australian Aborigines, like many early traditional human societies, were living in a kind of a dream time. We call it a dream time, but that's not to say that it was like a kind of unconsciousness or something. It was actually a kind of hyper-consciousness, an awareness of the big picture of the unitary consciousness, of the field of consciousness that human beings are part of. So for the Australian Aborigines to be aware of this level, this higher level of perception, actually means that they were in some essential way more advanced than human beings today, who are basically characterized by having a very limited consciousness. You know, the modern consciousness is been specialized. It's become fixated to the surface of reality. We live in a religion of thingism, things. We worship things. Our consciousness focuses on objects and the surface appearance of reality. We don't penetrate into the depth of the essence that underlies the forms. Primitive cultures, so-called primitive cultures, did this. They were aware of this. The Australian Aborigines had their dream time. American Indian cultures had their holistic consciousness, access to that. And many shamanistic societies also practice reconnection with that domain of higher consciousness. So it's all, you know, very inverted in terms of how we use the words civilization and primitive. And but I think that we're approaching a time when we should try to reclaim that unitary consciousness of the big picture, because it's the only thing that's going to get us out of this trap of ego consciousness, which seeks to keep us limited.
And I just find it hard to believe that just because they didn't have big screen TVs, that we can look at their level of understanding of the universe and understanding the subtle energy and how we interact and survive in this universe as being a primitive concept.
Yeah, well, because the modern consciousness doesn't understand it, so it just labels it and judges it, because it doesn't understand the larger perspective. Like, for example, physics doesn't understand metaphysics. Metaphysics, in the true sense, is transcendent to physics. It's above physics. It includes physics. Metaphysics includes physics. It can do physics. But it also incorporates what you refer to as the subtle energy fields. And so, you know, we have a problem in the modern world in which, you know, the modern paradigm is really one of a very limited slice of reality. You know, we only perceive a very small slice of reality, and yet we think that we're the crown of the tree. You know, that is that is the ridiculous situation with the modern world. You know, we think that we are more advanced in every conceivable way than our ancestors, but in fact we've devolved. Our consciousness has become limited. And we're trying to turn the corner here and wake up to our full potential.
So do you think it's going to take us, I'm just going to throw out a number, because like 10,000 years for us to get back to where we were before, do you think it will kind of move along at a quicker pace to re-experiencing who we actually are?
Well, I think that it's up to the individual. You know, transformation and renewal is facilitated by sacrifice. And I mean that in the sense of sacrificing our attachment to the illusions that keep us bound to the ego consciousness, the illusion that we are limited, individualized beings. We're not trying to annihilate the ego. We all want to have a sense of identity, but we have to place that identity into the larger context of the unitary consciousness, the entire holistic field in which we belong. But to answer your question, I can't say. I don't know. I think that, you know, what needs to be done is clear, and that's up to the individual. It's a free will universe, so one can choose to open up to the full potential, which involves awakening to the higher consciousness that is also your own source consciousness, or stay stuck to the surface of reality and worshiping things and believing that the ego is the sovereign of the universe.
And this is a little bit off point, but do you think that the planet will be able to survive by taking
I'm sorry, I can't hear you because the music.
Well, it's okay. It's been a crazy night. We'll just call it good. John, thank you so much for coming on the show. Sorry about the technical difficulties. I'd love to have you back on because I'm feeling like we weren't able to do your work justice. And I think
I really appreciated the conversation. We really got into some good topics there, and we'll get into some more of that at the conference in Fort Collins, Colorado, in the springtime. Beautiful place to be.
Perfect. John, again, thank you very much. I have William Henry on next week, so we'll be continuing this conversation. So, anyway, thank you much. And we talk about who we have next week. Next week, we have William Henry. We talk about 2012, the Stargate of the Gods, and Dwayne Elgin talking about living in our universe, a new cosmology. So, I'm Dr. Rita Louise. This is Just Energy Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
Join host Dr. Rita Louise each week at this time for Just Energy Radio. Point your browser to www.justenergyradio.com for more show information and to contact Dr. Rita. Until next time, remember, it's all just energy.